It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning. You know what that means. Time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning on a beautiful but smoky Saturday.
You said it, Denny. I mean, it is just bizarre, this haze that we have.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And it by the way, it's now August, in case you hadn't noticed.
Well, that did roll over on the calendar. I mean, summer does fly fast in Minnesota. You know, it's been a warm July, and that's one thing I'd like to quickly talk about is when we, you know, these warmer months like this, there's nothing better than having a little bit of rosé wine, Denny. I mean, to sit down on the patio, put a little chill on there, and just enjoy what you have. It's truly a pleasure. One of the great regions in all of France that makes wonderful rosés is the Provence region, which is down in the southeast corner of France. This particular area abuts the Alps. It borders Italy right down there in the south, famous for its couple big cities of Marseille, Toulon, but, you know, there's also the real famous city of Nice, which so many people go down, you know, the jet set loves to go down to that Riviera, the French Riviera, and, you know, just be seen and relax. And it's amazing, though, that the beaches are so popular because the beaches are actually made of stone. It isn't a sandy beach. They're real hard, you know, stones, and I don't know how anybody lays out on those things. But I guess when it gets real hot in France and all throughout Europe, you know, right now everybody does go on holiday. It's a little bit tricky to do business in Europe right about now because half the business is shut down for about 2 or 3 weeks because everybody goes off to holiday, and usually they head down to the south of France on the Mediterranean Ocean to soak up some of that sun and feel that. And Provence is one of the regions in which so many people love to flock to, not only from France but from around the world. And it has a rich, rich history of winemaking down in that little area there. Obviously, it started like most of the French regions, but it actually started with the Greek influence. And then also it came up through the Romans. And, you know, the Romans used that, believe it or not, it was almost a retirement package for all the Roman soldiers that did well. And when they went off and conquered places, the Romans, the Senate and the emperors would then cede land to those soldiers. And usually it was up there in the south of France that they would cede that wine to. So their culture kind of brought up there. And one thing they always loved to bring up was a little bit of wine. And even, you know, years and years and years ago, it's interesting to say that the Senate, the Roman Senate, actually put a kibosh on the winemaking in Provence because it was influencing and hurting the Italian or the Roman winemaking, and also olives as well, but the winemaking business in that. So, you know, our history is something, it seems to repeat itself because, you know, now we're fighting with all these tariffs on wine and liquor and all that type of stuff. And, you know, it isn't so new, and that kind of stuff has been going on. That saber rattling on wine has been going on for years and years and years. But it's been a very unique area. It's always been very rural, except, you know, they have the big port town of Marseille and also Toulon, but the rest of it is mostly rural. And, you know, in that area, famous dishes like ratatouille have come out of there, or the baba ganoush, that kind of thing, you know, eggplants and all the vegetables. And what you do see down in that area, they cook more with olive oil than they do with the cream and butter like they do in the north. But Provence was its own independent country up until about the 1400s when their king abruptly died and there was no heir, and the king of France saw the opportunity and absorbed that into the French kingdom. So there was a little bit of independence down there. You know, those kingdoms traded hands left and right, you know, depending on who won what war. But then the French assumed it only in about the 1400s. So it was kind of its own country and had its own culture. But it was always a very rural aspect. But also a little bit, those farmers loved to do stuff. And, you know, you had the beautiful mountains there. And just the topography is wonderful for winemaking, especially the rosés. And, you know, they know how to do it. They perfected it. And the reason why it kind of sparked this was it's been so warm lately. And as I was walking out of the store, I saw a new stack of wine that we just got in from across the ocean called Saint Cidio. And now this is from the Côte de Provence region. Côte de Provence, they only designated really in about 1997 as far as a region. It's a newer, in Provence, the districts and things are on the newer side compared to the rest of France. You know, in the 80s, did they decide where Aix-en-Provence is, and then also the Côte de Provence in 97. So that's relatively new for the French, considering most of the appellations were all designed in about the 30s of where is what. But it's showing you that this area is becoming an area of interest as far as wine. A little bit of celebrity has gone down there. You know, old Brad Angelina, I guess it was. Brad Pitt and Angelina had an estate down there. People loved it. It was called Miraval. Of course, they're divorced. They're actually still fighting over the estate. No one knows which way is up on that one. But the St. Cidion doesn't have that problem. The family has been owned it now for about 150 years, so they don't have that fight that Brangelina have. But they make wonderful, wonderful rosé wines. What you find with this one in particular, it's a blend of Cinsault, some Grenache, there's a little bit of Mauvais, and even a tad bit of Syrah in there. So that gives it a lot of structure and makes it a very great wine to, again, rosés like this, you can put a wonderful chill on, and then it can be enjoyed with so many things. Now, a famous dish down there as well is the Niçois salad, the salad of Nice, where you have a little bit of tuna, a hard-boiled egg, a little bit of, you know, olive oil spread around there. A wonderful, easy, light dish on a warm day, because right now it's so hot down in the south of France, you really don't want to eat too much, and it's always incorporated with seafood, especially that maritime culture that is so close to the Provence region. They're right on top of the Mediterranean Ocean, so you always see a lot of langoustines and shrimps and wonderful little fish to have that. So rosé, you know, is a great little wine to have with a lighter fare. And I say that kind of reluctantly today because woke up this morning and stepped outside, and there's even a bit of chill in the air compared to the last few weeks that we've had. I almost had to put a sweater on to do this, Teddy. It's pretty crazy. So with that, you know, and so the St. Cidion and those Provence wines are great. So the other thing, since it was chilly, I was like, well, I maybe have to do a little turn and recommend a different rosé and change gears. So I had to, you know, quickly pull out my notebook and research a few things. And I'd also recommend during this, you know, since it's a little bit cooler, and if you want a rosé that has a little bit more structure, a little bit bolder, I would recommend a Tavel, T-A-V-E-L, Tavel. And it's the only wine region in all of France. Now, we've jumped over, we've kind of shifted west from Provence over to the Rhone Valley. And the Tavel region is literally across the river from Châteauneuf de Pape, a wonderful historical area as well. But Tavel has a lot of the same climate, but also the same soil as Châteauneuf de Pape. There's a few spots in that area where if you look down, you wonder how anybody ever planted any vine in Tavel, because it looks like one of those Japanese Zen gardens. There's so many rocks around, and you wonder how they got anything to grow in there, but they did. And it's a wonderful, wonderful rosé wine. But what you notice with the Tavel, this is why I'm kind of recommending it, since there is a little bit of a chill in here. A Tavel is probably the darkest, richest of all the rosé wines that are out there being made. You would almost assume in some cases it might even be a red wine as far as the dark coloration to a Tavel because of that. But the best thing about that is that it's a kind of a, shall you say, it's almost, it tastes and has the mouthfeel of a white wine, but the structure and the bouquet is like a red wine. So you're kind of getting best of both worlds when you're dealing with the Tavel as far as, consuming it. And again, it's so universal. You could do it with that Niçois salad if you wanted to, or if you want to do a little bit heavier fare like a chicken, things like that. And one of my favorite Tavels, and actually it was my father's favorite Tavel, was called Cuvée Royale. It's made by the Anquetilis family. They also have holdings in Côte d'Aron. They do make a Côte d'Aron white and a Côte d'Aron red, but their emphasis is on their Tavel, and it's just a rich, rich, full-flavored wine. It's very dynamic, and again, it can take that chill. And when you look at it and you pour it into a glass, you might even say, boy, what red wine maker dropped the ball on that, because it is like a, you know, not a Kool-Aid color, but it's that kind of rich, rich ruby red coloration to it. But it has structure, it has depth, so you can really pair that up with anything. And Tavel, again, it's the only district in all of France that sole dedication to making rosés. Now, there is a little technique, or there's a misnomer that some people think you can blend a white wine with a red wine to make those rosés, and that's not the case at all. It's actually the contact with the skins. So when they do crush that Grenache and Mourvèdre, they expose it and they macerate it for only about 18 hours. Now, sometimes what they can do is they can use some of the musk from a white grape in that, but it isn't wine yet. So they sometimes do a blend of a white varietal and a red varietal into that particular Tavel, but that just depended on the winemaker and whatnot. But it is a wonderful wine. And again, it takes a chill so well, and it's so full-flavored. My son, who has a birthday in the latter part of July, it's always, you know, hotter than the hinges of Hades. And so we would bury that at the bottom of the ice chest. You know, people are always surprised. You pull it out, and once they taste it, boy, you know, people just really enjoyed it. And, you know, leave it to us. They have a kid's birthday party full of wine, but that's what the Farrells love to do. Makes my cooking taste better, Daddy, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But you're right on the money about that rosé from Provence. Thanks to Haskell's, I learned that. And like you've said, and I know we've going to only have about a minute or so to go, but if you thought that rosé, oh, it's just too sweet, boy, are you in for a treat, right?
You are correct, because, you know, that we went through that phase of white Zinfandels and white Merlots and all that type of stuff, and a manufactured good. And, you know, some people are kind of a little gun-shy to try those rosés. But once you try them and find that they are so light, they're crisp, fresh acidity. But, you know, even that that St. Cidio, the coloration to it is almost like a peach skin to it, where it's so light, so easy. But again, and once you get it, even if you grill a bratwurst and you have that glass of rosé with a bratwurst, you know everything's right in God's green earth.
Oh, absolutely. And folks, if you didn't have a chance to write any of this great information down, all you have to do is go to any Haskell's location. Ted will tell us the various locations, and those good people will help you out.
You are correct. You know, we can't make it a little cooler outside. We can't make your dinner, but we can make it an enjoyable time and make it an event that people will remember for forever. And there's a Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of your needs, whether it's a picnic, whether it's barbecue, whether it's just you just need to sit down and relax. There's a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. There's a Haskell's right across the Ridgedale Shopping Center in Minnetonka. There's a Haskell's in Highland Village right on Ford Parkway. There's a Haskell's down in Loman's Plaza in Bloomington. We also, if you're out on the lake today in Lake Minnetonka, stop by Haskell's Excelsior. We have take care of your needs, or you can stop in the bar and have a burger as well. There's a Haskell's right in White Bear Lake if you're headed out east, or if you're going down the river, stop by Haskell's Stillwater. If you're headed down south, right off of 35, there's a Haskell's in Faribault. And then we also have a Haskell's in Plymouth if you're headed up north. If you're going up further north, stop by Haskell's Maple Grove, our super cellar. It's a sight to be seen, 20,000 square feet of your rosé needs across the board. And also, if you can't hit up any of that, you can always stop by at Haskell's.com 24/7. Place your order, and we'll even deliver it to you.
Easy as that. All right, Ted, have a great week, and let's talk next Saturday.
I look forward to that, Denny.
Thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.